not the best to lose two on your senior day.
What's the mindset to bounce back?
You know, chuck it and put it in the bucket.
I actually have a surprise for you.
Oh my gosh, what?
Give me your raw reaction to the fact that Florida State back on top of the ACC.
This is the only time I'll ever root for the Tar Heels.
Ooh. Welcome back to Softball Speakeasy, episode 12, presented by the Softball Sanctuary. Use code SPEAKEASY for 10% off all of their training programs and products at thesoftballsanctuary.com. Again, code SPEAKEASY for 10% off at thesoftballsanctuary.com. But if you're new here, my name is Rain Wilson, and I'm a former Duke softball player turned analyst and broadcaster.
And my name is Kelly Torres, a current Duke softball catcher.
Softball Speakeasy is a podcast that will be giving you next level access to Duke's 2024 campaign. We'll be following storylines throughout the college softball season, and we'll aim to give you a behind the scenes look at what it takes to play softball
at the Division I level.
Yeah, and if you're hearing this, you know we're together. We're back in person. Woo! Kelly came back to the old apartment here in Gary, North Carolina. Thank you so much, Kelly, for driving over. Seriously.
Yeah, 30 minutes now.
I know you're busy. I know you're a busy gal. I know finals are coming up. So how are you doing? We have a lot to talk about. We have to talk about the UVA series. Mm-hmm. We've got to talk about the ACC, obstruction, senior day, a lot to dig into. So just temperature check. How are you doing?
You know, it's a lot. It's bittersweet. Mm-hmm. I'd say we are in the midst of finals. So mm-hmm. I actually had a paper I finished before this, and I have a paper due tonight, presentation tomorrow. So we're really in the whole storm of it.
It was a big weekend. Let's mm-hmm. just talk. Let's get right into it. We mm-hmm. were talking a little bit before, obviously, starting to record. But you all played UVA, and they came into town Friday night, like you said, 12 innings. It was a barn burn. I mean, it was 0-0 until the 12th. You guys pulled it out. Then quickly turned around for the very next day. There was rain on Sunday, so you all played two on Saturday. And for folks who didn't watch, do you mind just breaking down just what happened throughout this weekend?
Yeah. So you touched on the Friday game, 12 innings long, 0-0 until the bottom of the 12th. Then comes the next day, Saturday, senior weekend. So we had our celebration. The seniors were recognized. Families came out onto the field. The mothers threw out the first pitch. Mm-hmm. Then another close game we end up losing. And then, mm-hmm. save you some details, the next game comes and we lose again. So it's not the best to lose two on your senior day.
No, definitely not. I know that didn't feel good. However, you know, we were talking about this. Got to give UVA credit. For mm-hmm. folks who don't follow softball as much or as have not been able to follow them this year, UVA is a top 30 RPI team, whereas years past they haven't been in the top 50 even some years. But they're well coached. They pitched really well against you all. And so credit, hats off to them. But I want to ask right off, you know, like, how do you bounce back from that? Like, obviously, it's mm-hmm. emotional loss. It's to come on senior day, all of your families are there, and to lose that doubleheader and lose a series. And we'll talk about this a bit later, but for Florida State now in number one in the ACC because of it, you know, what's the mindset to bounce back?
Mindset is it's part of the game. Mm-hmm. It is part of the game, baseball, softball. You're not going to always be on. And that was one of the weekends. So you're not going to get to where you want to be without adversity.
Right.
And if this is our adversity, so be it. Let's take it and move on. Coach Taylor's mom is the one who actually came up with it and then told Coach Taylor. But a big thing that we're kind of harping on is, you know, chuck it and put it in the bucket. You know, it's over with. We're moved on. That's not going to stop Team 7 in our goals.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also, I think it like, it just reminds you that any game, it's anyone's mm-hmm. game on any given day. I don't know if that's probably the incorrect order to say that. But what, like, from the X's and O's standpoint, like, anything can happen, right? They won those two games. But can you put into perspective for softball fans what you all feel like X's and O's-wise you need to do better to go to Oklahoma City?
Yeah. Well, before the second game on Saturday, coaches had a meeting with us, the coaches left, and then kind of brought the team back together. And I was like, what do we feel? Because mm-hmm. I felt like we were making adjustments. Mm-hmm. I felt like people were trying to get on top of the ball, but I felt like they wanted it more than we did. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't so much of like adjustments or playing hard, because we do that, but it was the want. Mm-hmm. We didn't want it. And Virginia did, and it shows.
Mm-hmm. And it was weird in the booth. And I always used to get frustrated by this as a player, people being like, you guys didn't have energy and whatever. And this is kind of unrelated, but I'm calling the Duke Florida State baseball series this weekend. Something new. That's crazy. But I was listening to the coach interview or one of the interviews of the Florida State coach, Link Jarrett. And he said, sometimes good teams make you play bad. And I think a lot of times people forget, like, oh my God, y'all's energy was down. You didn't feel it. Like, it felt like that in the stadium, in the booth. It felt like it just, even though they were up by 3 runs at one point, it felt like a mountain. But sometimes good teams make you play that way. But at the same time, you have to find that way to turn the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do, right? But, and I was trying to explain this to Danny, my girlfriend, who doesn't really know softball. You know her, obviously. And I was trying to explain, like, if a team like Oklahoma the past few years didn't exist, where they just brought it every single day with that X on their back, I wouldn't think it'd be possible to not have an off day.
Mm-hmm.
But they somehow do it. And I'm curious what you think the difference maker is. Like, how do you want it? How, like, when teams are playing you and your energy is down, how do you flip that switch?
Yeah.
And, like, there might not be an answer, right? But what's your opinion on that?
So I think it takes one. I really think it takes one person to go up there and fake it. Because if it's not coming, fake it.
Mm.
Because then that's infectious. Hitting is infectious. Energy is. So I do it. Claire gets up to bat. She does it. Then Amina. And it just, you know, it's one of those patch the torch type of
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't really have someone to pass, or that person who does it then passes it, but that person doesn't pass it on, you know, then that's when we're like, we're falling just mm-hmm. a bit. So I think when we're playing at Clemson, we didn't skip a beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single person wanted to be that person up to bat, wanted to make the change for the game. And I mean, it could have been the environment. It could have been the fact that we weren't in finals week.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been the fact that we weren't in senior weekend. I mean, you can say so many things, but at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Right.
Take it and learn from it. That's all we can do at this moment.
Right. And it's always a struggle because as a player, like, there's no days that you show up and you're like, I don't really want to do well today. Like, everyone wants to do well. Everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to sweep. But how do you take that next step and actually put it in action? Because you know this, like, softball is a game that even the best players go through slumps. The best players have bad days, whatever you might call it. But what you just said reminded me of a TEDx or a TED Talk I just saw about body language, about faking it, about how what your body language sends to mm-hmm. your teammates, sends to the world. And you have, like, some of the best body language I've ever seen. And so, you know, I'm excited for you all because this is just part of the story now. Like, my freshman year, my coaches always say, hey, it's written. It's already written. You can't go back and change the words. What are we going to write next? So it's exciting, you know, the opportunity you all have this week against Gardner-Webb tomorrow, Longwood, and then going to NC State. But I want to jump back a little bit because you said it was senior day.
Mm-hmm.
Lily Walker, Sarah Goddard, Francesca Freelich, Giselle Tapia, Jayla Wright, Claire Davidson, and, of course, Kelly Torres. You all were the freshmen back when I was a senior, and to see you grow as women has just been incredible. Like, when all the moms were out there, when the jerseys were out there, you could feel you've left your mark on this program. So I want to just quickly get your thoughts on the emotions of senior day and what it's like to leave this place, leave Duke with that group of women.
Well, we came in at such a special time. We played with people from Team 1, the OGs, and now we're leaving with people who are going to be on Team 10.
Wow.
And it's crazy how we touched a decade of Duke softball.
Mm-hmm.
And to see and hear the stories from Team 4 of, like, you know, you guys were hoping for 40 wins at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's already given now in mm-hmm. our program. And to see that growth, to be a part of that growth, it's awesome. I mean, I am so grateful and blessed every single day that I get to wear Duke across my chest. It's a lifetime opportunity that many people do not get.
Mm-hmm.
Very grateful for it. And I mean, it's brought me, like you said, the class, Lily, Sarah, Claire, Jayla, G. I mean, Frankie, we have all grown together. And now we're all moving out into the world and figuring out ourselves. And I just wish everyone the best. Mm-hmm. And I know they will because they went through this program. And Duke softball just generates amazing females.
Mm-hmm. And it's not time Woman. Yet, but we were really excited to welcome you into the alumni group because it's an amazing group. We're all planning going to the ACC tournament here in a couple weeks. And it's crazy. You spend every single moment with each other now. Mm-hmm. And you can't imagine a world where you see people once a year if you're lucky. And so I just soak it in. Yeah. Soak it in as much as you can. And to those seniors, other seniors on the team, congratulations. I love you so much. You all deserve the very best. But Kelly, I actually have a surprise for you.
Oh,
so go ahead and take those headphones off. I've got to give you something here.
Oh, gosh.
So, Kelly, it has been amazing to see you grow. And I know a few other people wanted to share.
Oh, my gosh. What?
They wanted to share. And so we'll put the video up right now. But
Hi, Kelly.
Happy senior night, Kelly.
Happy senior day.
Happy senior year.
Happy senior day.
Happy senior night.
Congratulations on your graduation.
Congratulations on what an awesome year you're having.
Congratulate my long-term friend, Kelly Torres, on this big day.
Congratulations on senior day.
I just hope you have the best senior day ever.
Congratulations.
Congratulations on your graduation. Just the first up. On an amazing journey you have ahead.
I am so proud of you and the woman that you became.
I couldn't be any prouder of you.
So proud of you.
I seriously cannot express how proud of you I am.
We wanted to let you know how very proud we are of you.
I'm so, so proud of you.
I can't even begin to tell you how proud I am of your journey.
Estoy muy orgullosa de ti. Recibe mi felicitación por tus éxitos. En lo académico, en lo deportivo, y en lo personal.
Love you, girl. Enjoy.
Have I told you how much I love you today?
I love you, Kelly, and I cannot wait to see the amazing things you continue to accomplish in your life.
Love you.
Love you, Kel.
Love you, girl.
Mucho, mucho. Love you.
Love you, and good luck.
Love you so much.
Love you so
Such
much.
Such a great achievement.
Hopefully we'll see you in the national championship game this year.
Go Blue Devils.
Go Blue Devils.
I hope you guys can win the championship this year, and we love you.
Good luck the rest of the season. Let's go Blue Devils.
Go Duke.
Keep on. See you in OKC.
We love you. We wish you all the best.
John and Kelly, you did an amazing job with her.
Kelly, congratulations on an incredible career. You are an amazing woman. I'm so proud to call you a friend. You deserve the absolute best in this world, and I'm certain that the best is yet to come. Congratulations on the journey. I love you, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Happy senior day.
That was so awesome.
Well, thank Kyle. Thank you to everyone who sent Kyle videos. If you're watching right now, you can address them.
Guys, thank you so much. Like, I just love you guys all so much. From my cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, friends. Like, I couldn't have been here without you, without any of them. I could not have made it, you know, whether it was physically driving me and being there, taking me when my parents couldn't, or being my outlet when it was too much, or being my friends, just being there to hear me and, you know, support me on this journey. I couldn't do it without them.
Yeah. And what a village you've had. I mean, for those of you who submitted videos for Kelly, thank you. And I know we couldn't put every single second into the video, otherwise it would have been a 50-minute long video. But Kelly, I'll send you all of the full videos from your family and friends, and you deserve it. I mean, happy senior day.
Thank you.
It's so interesting seeing all these videos, because I don't know, you know, a lot of your village, but they all have this, like, somewhat of the same themes. Like, you're amazing, you're authentic, they're so proud of you, and that doesn't happen by chance, you know? So happy senior day, and the best is yet to come for Kelly Torres.
Thank you, Rain. Thank you, everyone.
So senior day was emotional, but it's not over yet. Mm-hmm. Season's not over. Your time at Duke's not over. We're not wishing it away. So I want to dig into the ACC, kind of wrap up this past week and talk through a very, very interesting standings change from this past week that we kind of already touched on. But
well, Boston College almost took one from FSU. I watched that game.
That was crazy. I know. And
they were so close.
For you all, that would have been nice because now Florida State, crazy enough, stands at the top of the ACC once again, to the chagrin of Duke fans and the chagrin of Clemson fans, but and Virginia Tech fans as well. But I mean, it's crazy going into this year. Florida State's been at the top, and we've talked about it all season long about it's a down year and this, that, and the other. And they've quietly won a lot of games.
Yeah.
10-game win streak, 15-3 in the ACC, standing at number one. Give me your thoughts. Just give me your raw reaction to the fact that Florida State back on top of the ACC.
It's disheartening. And I think this is the only time I'll ever root for the Tar Heels.
Ooh,
because yeah. UNC is good. Mm-hmm. UNC can take one from FSU, and that's all we need is for them to drop one, because then I think it goes back to...
Yeah, it's head-to-head.
Head-to-head, and we beat them. So yeah. Let's go UNC.
Yeah, y'all got to take care of business against NC State, though.
Yes, we do. Let's stay present. Yes. We got to do what we got to do. But then after that, let's go Tar Heels.
Let's go Tar Heels. Yeah, I'm going to definitely clip that because that's something I don't think you've ever said.
Nope.
But yeah, Florida State stands at the top, but they come to Durham for the ACC tournament. So a couple weeks away from the ACC tournament, we've kind of spoke about it. The alums are coming back. How does it feel to be hosting? Like, is that... Have y'all talked about that as a team? Is that like kind of what you kind of discuss in the locker room? Like, it's a really, really cool opportunity, but have you guys touched on it?
I mean, it's been mentioned, but I don't think we've really had a sit down discussion about it. I think we're trying to stay present. We do have a bye weekend, so hopefully that will be more our preparation for the tournament. But what a better way to end. Like, name a better way. How we win the ACC freshman year, and now we have it. My senior year hosting the first time ever in Duke softball history. So, and with a new video board.
That thing is sweet.
It
that
is.
Thing is big.
And it's going to be.
When do they think it's going to be ready?
Ready by Wednesday's game.
Got it. Wow. Yep. Cool. I'll be there. That's exciting. Wow. That's super exciting. Well, yeah. So that's coming up May 8th through 11th. We're in talks to do a live podcast there.
Yes.
We're in talks. We're trying to figure that out. We don't know the schedule of Duke yet. And also, we want to respect what you have going on. And so we'll see. I think what would be fun, though, maybe, is to do the podcast there with some alums jumping in. We'll see. We don't know. We might not do anything. We might do everything. We're not sure yet. We will keep you all updated. But definitely look for the alums at the ACC tournament. And we'll all be wearing the same thing. So just, I'm not going to say anything else, but we'll all be wearing the same thing at the ACC tournament and be super rowdy.
So you'll be able to spot.
You'll be able to spot us.
Okay. You'll hear them before you see them.
You'll definitely hear us because we're going to be loud and rowdy and potentially I'm maybe inebriated. We're not sure yet. So really excited for that. But across the softball landscape, it's been a wild few weeks. Like the parity we talked about last week, the parity is... For me, it feels like an all-time high. And as a voter in the Softball America poll, you know, that is, I've been into a couple Twitter wars here recently. It's hard because there's so many good teams across the country. But one of the series that was spotlighted this past week, or spotlit, I don't know.
Lit.
One of the series that was on the radar this past week was UCLA versus Stanford. And UCLA ends up sweeping Stanford.
Yes.
Beating Nyjah Kennedy twice. You know Nyjah Kennedy, of course, from the Super Regionals last year. But one of the plays was on an obstruction call in extra innings that allowed UCLA to score. So have you seen the video?
Mm-mm.
You haven't seen the video. So I'm going to show Kelly the video live, and we're going to get her reaction. We're going to pop up the video right now.
No, that's not obstruction. Whole back plate is open.
It's not.
So that's what you're taught.
That's what you're taught.
Well, to stand right there in the corner and leave the back half of the play open for the runner.
So let me ask you this, Kelly. What do you know the actual letter of the law for obstruction?
No.
You don't.
But I
you
do
can,
know.
You can describe it, though.
I can describe it. Once you have the possession of the ball, you are able to you know, I can sit on the play if I want to, if I have the ball.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So I think what you said is perfect, the back half of the plate. But I'll read the letter of the law for you all out there listening. And it's also, as long as you know where to set up, it doesn't really matter if you know the words, right? Like, so obstruction occurs when a defensive player, neither in possession of the ball nor in the act of fielding a batted ball, impedes a batter's attempt to make contact with the pitch or impedes the progress of any runner who is legally running bases on a live ball. It can be intentional or unintentional. While not in any in possession of the ball, it is obstruction if the defensive player blocks any part of the leading edge of first, second, third, or home plate. So I'll actually pop up. I have a picture. The leading edge is it's hard to do you know how to describe that? It's really hard to describe.
Leading edge?
I'll pop up the photo here, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the leading edge is if like the front left corner of the plate down, like out towards third, and then to the back left corner to the foul line. That's the leading edge.
Okay.
So what you basically said, like give them the back half of the plate. What they changed about that rule this year was that the throw could take you into that lane.
Yes.
And if you're making a legitimate like move towards the throw, you're good. But
which happened with the Texas game.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much there, right? Because obviously this was overturned. I don't know what the weird part about that play is that the umpires called it correctly in real time.
And then they
go to video and they switched it.
Gosh, why? I wonder what they were talking about.
I know. And like, as a catcher too, it's, and that poor catcher for Kaneshiro, I think it was.
She's a good catcher.
She's a great catcher. She's a really good catcher. And it sucks because that's like, you circle her name, even though softball fans across the country are like, that's on the umpires. Like there's I think there's formal review going on of that play, but you all almost were the benefactors of that call. So late in game two against UVA, bases were loaded.
Mm-hmm.
One out, Amina is up. You all are down by one run. Shot to the third baseman. She taps on third, throws it home, tags the runner out at home. Yes. Double play in the game. It was an amazing play. Really great play. Immediately went to review, and that was the longest review I've ever seen in softball.
It took a while. Well, because it was so long, I was like, oh, we're getting it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, another thing Coach Taylor mentioned, she came out and was like, if that call last night talking about the UCLA-Stanford call was obstruction, then this right here, no doubt, is an obstruction call.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we didn't end up getting it. But what does that say now to all softball? Because that one call was made.
Yep.
Now we're thinking, oh, we should get that call.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah. And it sucks because people were kind of like angry at UCLA. You can't be mad at them. They're using the rules. Same thing y'all did. That was the only thing you had left to do.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Young immediately arm out obstruction because do you remember in Charlotte last year in the regional? Mm-hmm. Do you remember there was bases loaded and the Charlotte catcher was cut like blocking the plate before she got the ball, but the play was not even close. But Coach Young asked her to review and she was called safe. Do you remember it?
I think I do. And it was wild.
It was
everyone
wild.
Everyone was like, our fans were yelling, their fans were yelling.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. And I think as athletes and fans and all of us, all we want is for the correct call to be made. And although they tweaked the rule from last year, it still needs to be tweaked.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not, it was made so that people couldn't stand in front of the plate, someone slides into them, then you tag them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, right, it's kind of, it sucks. Because the umpires, all they're trying to do is get the call right. The one
that was bad.
That was bad. That was really bad. And normally I try to give them the benefit of the doubt now looking back. Of course, when I was playing, I was like so hard on the umpires. But
I wonder if the runner didn't slide like straight through. If she did maybe like a hook slide.
Right.
It probably wouldn't have been an obstruction call.
That's true.
Because it didn't look like catcher was in the way.
I have a question for you. I have a question for you about the future of the game. I think I would argue that with video review, coaches are going to start teaching to slide head first more and more and more because your hands can get down as opposed to your feet up.
And I'm also seeing, you know, those gloves.
Yep.
They act as a very, very good contrast to the ground versus your hand. So what happened in Clemson, Claire threw an amazing throw. I put a tag down.
Yes.
And I thought she was out by a mile, like not even close, right? Back in the video, I look back. She sneaks her hand through.
Yep.
But because it was with the mitt, you could see it. If it was her hand, you weren't going to be able to see that. Would mm-hmm. not have been like.
And here's close. What I think coaches should start doing. Well, actually, I guess it doesn't matter as long as there's contrast there. What I would do, maybe this is not legal. We should look at the rule book. Buy those mitts and buy them in white.
Mm.
That way, and cleats. Wear white cleats.
Why white cleats?
Because think about when you step on first base. Imagine your foot is on video replay.
It blends.
It blends right into the bag.
Oh my gosh.
I think there's untapped potential here.
There is.
And the gloves. I don't know if the mitts are
You know what makes
legal.
Me upset about the gloves?
What?
Is that you can so tell. You know what they should do? They should have people who have the gloves stand to make sure yes. they're the same height as their other arm. Because I was seeing, I don't know if it was Virginia or Clemson, one of our most recent, they put it on first base and like it's like all the way up there and they're just tying it around their hand.
Yeah.
It makes your hand like a
whole. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Literally put that thing 6 inches. And that's what I'm saying about sliding head first.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can reach just, and you can't reach with your heel or your toe. Your toe goes up. I don't know. I think there's going to be a rule change in the next few years, I think, regarding those mitts.
Yeah.
There might be a rule. I should look. I should know that.
I think with video review, the umpires are now going to go with the safer route. And then if the coaches want to object or whatever, they go for it. So I also think it's going to make umpires more like careful.
Yeah.
And like they don't want to be like the risky out or what they believe in their heart is the correct call.
Right. Well, it's interesting too about the play against UVA when you all asked for obstruction, video reviewed. A few people texted me and they're like, clearly it's not indisputable if it takes them 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's going to be a time limit. But I think that's silly just because the goal should always be to get the call right.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it takes 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. As a player, I'm sure you're the same way. It was always like, I just want it to be correct.
Yes.
And sometimes, like, especially I was watching Duke Virginia Tech baseball, there's a couple plays that the call on the field was what they ultimately went with, not because that was the correct call, but that's what they called. There was nothing indisputable, so you couldn't tell. Another thing too about the Duke UVA game, your series this past weekend, there's only two camera angles.
Yeah,
I was wondering I'm sure Coach knew that, but did you all know that?
I knew because I could see in center field there was no guy out there,
right.
But that wasn't something we ever said out loud. That was just something I kind of picked up on.
And are you all coached? I wonder this a lot because, you know, across sports, back when I played, there was very little. There was no video review ever. And so I would, you know, a call with me and you're like, safe, coach, I was safe.
Yeah.
Right. But in today's day and age, you need to be right. And there's some place there was one. Do you know what I'm talking about when you called safe at first?
Yeah.
You're running through first. Oh my God, Kelly. I was literally geeking out in the car watching this. Kelly runs through first base and it's like ball and glove, foot on bag. And then like maybe a millisecond, like two frames later, you touch the bag.
Yeah.
In real time, it looked close, but you looked out, and you were like, safe, yo, coach, they review that. And did they review it?
They did.
Oh,
let me say
trust.
Something.
That's
awful. I literally, when they're like, out, Coach Liv was right by me, and I was like, no, because that's bad. When you're like, coach, review it, and you're out, that's really bad. It's hard on the soul. But it's difficult, like you said, because that's emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to be safe so much that I low-key kind of, like, made myself believe that I was safe. And so.
Well, because, like, you should. And then there was another play where G, like, went to
get
a ball.
God, yeah.
Held the bag and said, no, I don't think I did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Like, I wonder. So that should change.
We had a talk. I had a throwdown before that game. It was a midweek. Anyways, I had a throw down. Amina laid a tag, but she was called safe. My throw took her a little to the right.
Yeah.
But Amina came back and was like, I think I got her. And then after the whole day's over, we went back and she was out.
Right.
And so Coach kind of made this, like, she came to us in a meeting and was like, hey, like, if you believe you're safe. Like, I trust you guys. You guys are out there. You're making the plays. Like, tell me.
Yeah.
And then we'll discuss as a staff if we want to use it.
Right.
So then Clemson.
Yeah.
And then I did. I was like, yeah. Like, I'm, yeah. You. And then coach is like, I got you. Well.
And it wasn't, it wasn't particularly close, unfortunately, on video.
It felt close.
It took them literally 15 seconds to go in and look at it. But to your point, like, and I think that's, we're in a transition period where kids growing up, it's going to be a point of emphasis that you need to be
certain.
You need to be certain. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of it, like, I know the emotions. And also, as you're running through first base as a young player, always motion, if it's close, always motion safe, because sometimes you're influencing the umpire.
Yeah.
Like, there was a study done in college basketball about refereeing at home. And it's not because the referees are biased, it's because the crowd saying X or whatever influences you, right? And so, you know, do that. But then all at the same time, don't do that unless you're certain, because then you lose a challenge.
Yeah, you live and you learn.
You live and you learn. And I just think it's so cool that, like, there 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was no replay review in regular season. It's really cool that this has come as far as it has. It's awesome.
I wish we had more than two, because then something happens early in the game. You're like, oh, what if something happens later? We want to save it. But then nothing happens. So you could have reviewed that play and that could have changed the rest of the game. So I wish, hopefully in postseason, they can do maybe like an unlimited amount.
I think the rules are still two, and then the umpires can
ask.
But yeah, sucks for Stanford in that call. But also, like, what shoulda, coulda, wouldas, they didn't score in the bottom half. Like, things can happen. Yeah. Whatever. But I think to your point about postseason, I think it's that leaving early review and that obstruction, it's going to rear its head in an ugly way. And it sucks for the people on the bats, for the leaving early. I don't have much sympathy, but for the obstruction, like, it stinks that that might hurt someone's season.
I don't think another call is going to happen like that again, though. I don't.
But, dude, it happened in Charlotte last year. It happened for the benefit of you all.
Yeah, but that was actual obstruction. Even though
by the letter of the law,
That was this. What happened was not obstruction.
That's true. And well, so that angle wasn't the best, though. But I agree. No, yeah. I agree. It wasn't obstruction. But yeah, we'll see. I put it here. I bet there will be a call.
All right.
Tune in. Comment below what you guys think.
We're going to clip this in a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah. When Kelly is called for obstructing. And then I'm like, what?
I'm so emotional in the field.
You really are. But it's honestly, it's good emotion. You don't ever come across as like pouty or like drama, which is nice as a viewer of the sport, at least. Good emotions. So let's move on to listener questions. So we posted something on Instagram and we asked you all to send listener questions. We got a bunch, so I'm going to read a few, and they're pretty quick. But at It's Katie13 asked, what are your thoughts on cheers specifically against pitchers?
It's part of the game.
I have a different opinion.
It's part of the game. I think we don't fight. We aren't hitting people intentionally. I think that is our way in this sport to get into the opponent's head.
Right. No, it's gamesmanship. You're right. I just think, like, God, I mean, I have no problem with, like, throw it in the dirt, like, all that stuff. Yeah. The ones where they're like counting out how many balls they've thrown, I never liked doing it as a player. Yeah. I get it, and I'm not saying no one should do it, but it just felt icky. It felt like classless.
I think that cheer doesn't come out until you need it to come out.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the last time we did it against Virginia, but we were losing. So we want the pitcher to throw balls, you know. And you touched on it earlier. If you're constantly hearing that. We're trying to get in that pitcher's head.
Yeah.
So I don't think if you're winning by 10 runs and like counting out the balls.
That's cruel. Come on. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's cruel. But yeah, no, I think there's a time and place. And also, it also depends on how chippy they are as a dugout. If they're super chippy and rude, but like more, you know, a little aggressive with the cheers. Then
we've had some aggressive cheering.
Who's been the most aggressive cheering team?
Most aggressive cheering team. Oh, this is good. I know exactly who it is. Oh, you know what? I think it was Charlotte.
Oh, that checks out. I remember playing them and being like, dang, they're like pretty loud.
Yeah. I have two, sh- two Charlotte stories. So one from G. G got thrown out at first and she's walking back, and G gets pretty mad when things, you know, happen, and it's just who she is. The dugout's just like, yeah, see ya, like taunting her, and she walks back. Like she does.
She walks slow. Back.
So on the way, G's like, bro, look at the scoreboard. Because we were winning by a bunch. And then over the fall, we played Charlotte. And you know how Cass has this lean back in her motion?
Uh-huh.
Every single time she leaned back, they were like,
they were saying,
oh, and they'd release it every single time she went back. And so when I was catching, I started doing it to the hitters when they swung out. Mm. When they swung and missed, I was like, oh, really loud. And then they stopped.
Yeah. Well, it also sucks when you do that and Cass strikes you out like every single time.
Yeah.
Because she kind of did that.
She did. But it's like, no. Pick your battles.
But it oftentimes is not even like a culture of a team. It's just sometimes who's in the dugout. Like who's I don't want to say role player, but like sometimes the core dugout, there's like a crew. Like back in when we played, the most rambunctious dugout person. Do you know what I'm going to say? Let's say who you think on the team we played on together, who is the most like into it dugout person ever. Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Sydney Bolin. Yes. She was never mean, but she was just so the hype man.
She really got the dugout going. Mm-hmm. I think that was one team where coach never had to say, pick up the energy in the dugout, because Sid Bull carried that title. She was like, this dugout is going to be lit. And like, she made it every single game. She made it lit.
Oh yeah. She made it lit every single time. But there were times, maybe if we have Sid Bull on the pod, that she'll speak to this. There were times, especially after I tore my ACL, obviously I was in there every single moment in the dugout. And I remember like when things weren't going well on the field at times, you were on the field, so you don't remember, you weren't there for this. Coaches sometimes, and it's kind of like when someone messes up on the bases and the third base coach turns the dugout and like rips yelling. The dugout.
But the person who did it's on the field.
Yeah, as like a teaching moment.
Yeah.
It's like a way, you know, we all get it, whatever. Yeah. But like, especially on the field, like when y'all would play on the field, we're in the dugout and we always had energy. Like, I'm going to forget people, but like, especially Kendall and Sid. Mm-hmm. Like, we could have said Kendall there too.
Yeah.
But Sid just loud, man.
Yes.
They would, especially Coach would like turn to us and like get on us, and we'd be like, what the heck, man? Like, we didn't even make that
error.
They
just wanted an outlet. Also, when you are that person on the field and you look over,
yeah,
you know what the heck is going on in that dugout. Like, yeah, you know they're getting reamed for what you did. So it's like, ugh.
Yeah, so cheering is an interesting, we'll have to talk about this again on a different episode too, because there's a lot there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there. It depends. The most, actually, I want to ask you this, because I have an answer. What team in the ACC is the most rambunctious cheers, if you will, or most aggressive cheers? Rowdy's dugout in the ACC.
I was going to probably go with like Clemson, but not because of their players.
Oh, it's the fans.
No, because of this one GA that they have.
Oh, the guy.
The guy.
He's got a TikTok.
Oh, does he?
You didn't know this?
No.
I've seen him on
Lord.
TikTok.
That guy, I've never seen his mouth close.
He's got some energy.
I've never seen so much energy come from a human. Like, you could, like, everyone in that dugout can be quiet and it can just be him cheering and it'll still be one of the loudest dugouts.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's got some good TikToks too.
Yeah.
I wish I knew his tag. I would say let's tag him. UNC's got some good cheers too.
Yes, UNC has good
cheers.
They
get after it. They get after it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams.
He's chill.
You know who's... they're like,
I love
so chill. They're
I
like,
love them.
You know who's the most chill?
Maybe I shouldn't say that. Sorry.
You know who the most chill though is?
Who?
Florida State.
Yeah.
They sit down. They're sitting the whole time. And they I remember when I told this story and like the first episode, but just rolling in, and it was the year they won the national championship, rolling in, calm, cool, and collected. Not a single cheer came out of the dugout and just smacked the hell out of us. God, that was good times, man. Good times. But no, I respect it. I also wonder, like, you look at the MLB, like college guys obviously get like rowdy. They don't have cheers, but I wonder if Florida State sitting down, not really doing that much stuff, is an energy saver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, It kind of is. Like, think about 56 games throughout the year, and you always have to be standing, cheering, yelling. Like, that's energy.
Also think, if you want to be a consistent team and you want to be high energy and then you want to keep that, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's not difficult to keep, like, a constant chill confidence. Uh-huh. So,
yeah.
I think that's what Duke's kind of been doing. Like, we haven't been really high. We haven't been really low. We've right. just been, like, right there in the middle.
Right. And, well, also, Coach Young used to always say, you know, there's like an energy level, like what, I don't know the exact term, but like an energy level that you're your best at. And when you have introverts, it's exhausting to try to keep it at a level 8 all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there's, you've been on travel teams, I've been on travel teams where it's like you have those 4 or 5 girls, that's their normal baseline. Yeah. They're at their best when they're at 8 and 9. And when they're at 6, you're like, whoa. So they can keep the energy up like that, but you can't really manufacture that and fabricate it because it just wears you out as an introvert. Interesting. Anyway, we'll move on to the next listener question. This one's a really quick one.
Kay.
_ Jada Marie says, what's your favorite dugout snack?
Ooh, favorite dugout snack this year has been Rice Krispie Treats, but I've been like stepping on them and smushing them. So they're like very, very thin. They taste 10 times better that way. So if you're about to eat a Rice Krispie Treat, go step on it.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I love that. So JNix101 asks, Kelly mentioned she was a bowler. What's her average?
Average? I do not remember. I think my highest game was probably around like 160-ish.
Nice. Weren't bad. I don't know.
I mean, 200 is like a perfect game.
I thought 300 was perfect.
Oh, 300 is a perfect game. You're right.
So okay. You got 160s?
Yeah.
That's great. All right. The last listener question we have is Julia Grobman.
Mm-hmm.
Is a friend of yours?
Yeah, both of them. Jada and Julia.
Hey, Jada and Julia. What is the most memorable travel ball experience you had as a child?
It's difficult to put one. So I can think about like the JO Cup with Gold Coast Hurricanes, the Junior Olympic Cup. We did really, really good on. I think we got third. That was one of my favorite tournaments. Julie was not on that team. But if we throw it back to when Julie was on the team, the Bat Buster days with Michelle Neveling, she was part of that video. That was fun.
Nice.
That was really fun. We were a really connected team, and we traveled a lot of places. Like,
oh, I love
travel
that.
Softball took you around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same as you. There's so many memories that just come flooding in. But... my most memorable ones are actually not like positive ones, unfortunately. Oh. Like, there's a few. I'll go with this one. So I played on the Richmond Diamonds. Shout out Richmond Diamonds. Small town Virginia travel ball team that we were actually really good. And we had that chip on our shoulder, you know, like we weren't a big team. We were a small town. Like we're going to come and beat your butt. And we played like local tournaments during the summer. And then we'd go like we play like 2 big ones, like Atlanta Legacy. Mm-hmm. And then we play in the Nationals.
TC?
There was no TC. I don't know what that is. Oh. It was at the time PGF was just coming out, okay. Like his first year ever.
Triple Crown is TC.
Oh, no. We did the biggest one ever. It was 12U for us, was ASA.
Okay.
At the time, that one was like the big one. Then the next year we played ASA again. But that's when PGF was getting big. I don't know. Anyway, we go, and at the time, it was like, of course, we had heard about the OC Bat Busters and the Firecrackers, and even like Gold Coast. I don't know if they were around, but I remember hearing of all these big teams, and so we'd go to Nationals and be like, this is our time to, like, show out.
Mm-hmm.
And day one, we get matched up with the Bat Busters, and they had this girl who was, like, the next biggest thing in the world, I guess. It felt like that's how we felt, and we won. We, like, beat them 4-0. Awesome. And we go to the other, like, this was our moment. And I built things up like it was the World Series. And then we go to the next field, like, to watch or something. And we were walking around, and I heard people say our name 3 different times. Oh, my, who are the Richmond Diamonds? And long story short, we did not end up, like, winning the tournament or anything. But that was, like, really cool. It was a cool memory to beat them and be, like, small town girls. Now, travel ball, so much fun. We'll get into that more in another episode. But everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Softball Speakeasy. As you all can see, I tried, and Kelly, thank God she showed up when she did and really enhanced this. Mm-hmm. But you can follow us at SB Speakeasy on all platforms. Submit your listener questions to softballspeakeasy@gmail.com. And we're always, as always, we're very grateful to be a part of the Softball America podcast network. So go follow them and subscribe to their YouTube channel. You might be even listening on the Softball America podcast network right now. But other than that, thank you so much for watching, listening, viewing, and subscribing. Good luck to Kelly. She's playing Longwood tonight. It's Wednesday. And then good luck this weekend against NC State. I'll be on the call for Duke versus Florida State baseball. Crazy. On Friday and Sunday. So tune in if you're a baseball fan.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good luck to you. But we will see you next week on the show.
Yep.
Peace.